The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Well, hour has arrived. We thank all of you for being here. Let's get to the calls after we've updated you throughout the day on the Bohannon situation. Not a lot new after chatting with Tom Hart. Let's check out CJ in Virginia. Hey, CJ, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for excuse me. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I just want to say this whole Alabama baseball coach, Bohannon, I was just shocked and really sad because I love college baseball. I heard someone asking about what's college baseball like, and I mean, I've been to a couple of, I've been to a few Major League Baseball games, but I wouldn't trade one college baseball game I've seen for any of them. College baseball is just different. You know, it's funny how each of the sports are so different and special in their own way. And other than college football, college baseball is my next favorite sport. Now, a lot of that, of course, may be a little self-serving. Skip Bertman. I mean, I watched Skip Bertman build our program, increase the play of baseball in the state of Louisiana, then in the whole SEC, and ultimately the nation. I mean, he's like the Paul Bear Bryant of college baseball, you know. So, it's been something exciting for us LSU fans to watch and to get into. But there's a real camaraderie there. And, I mean, it's really weird. I watched all three of those games. I was more worried about the Alabama catcher who, you know, a lot of times in these games, like happens in baseball, a ball kicked up, hit him in the throat, and he actually passed out for a minute, for a few seconds. Then revived, they walked him to the dugout, and he started collapsing again. Now, we got word at the end of the game that he was fine, he was good, he was going to be good, but I was more worried about that. Earlier this week, I don't listen to a lot of the LSU shows, but I was listening to this one LSU show, and was saying, oh, those dirty Bammers, they stopped the betting in some, betting place in Ohio, blah, blah, blah. And in my mind, I'm thinking, no way. I'm thinking, there's just some algorithm they got tripped. I didn't give it much of a thought, you know. And the first time I heard about this was your show yesterday. And I even tuned in late. I was utterly shocked.
I saw the story twice come up, the first from Ohio and then somebody else. And in full disclosure, I didn't read either article. I'm like going, so what? It's a sports book that the same thing you said. It did not make any sense for all the reasons that I thought there couldn't be more than 10 people in the world to bet on college baseball.
Well, I was going to say, too, though I did think it was odd. It was kind of funny when this all came up. The thing I thought about was at the very beginning of the first game, the announcers, they announced, yeah, the coach, this announcer is scratching the starting pitcher, which I kind of like, thought of that. Now, Skeens is he's like the Bryce Young of college baseball.
Oh, yeah.
He will be the number one major league prospect taken. I mean, he's Joe Burrow-esque. I mean, he's the man. So I think this may have happened on some other series, but I'm not positive.
Yeah, I have heard from some people today that are literally, there are a number of people going through every frame of every Alabama game looking for irregularities. That's count on that. And there is a lot of, for a program that lost its coach yesterday, they're not looking to say goodbye to this guy right now. There is a feeling among some on that team that he did them in. And that's without really knowing very much, but just based on little nuances, which I'm sure if you're on that team, you know what's going on. Cheerleader is up next.
Hey, man, I've been away from the phone and away from the media. And
yeah,
especially the Feinbaum Show. Paul, who won the caller bracket?
Cat Daddy.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Well, good for him. Good for him. And I, changing to the baseball, that is so weird how that all fell down. And, man, they're right on top of you. And now we got everything going on down there.
Yeah, there's I think there's more to come based on. I was in Alabama last weekend. I picked up some stuff, and the bad news is not over yet.
Well, I read where you were at the motorsports.
Yes.
Grand Marshal. Was it just a great crowd?
Yeah, they had about 100,000 people there. It was a big deal.
Did you go tour any of the building out there, the museum?
Well, I was at. Have you seen all that? I had a speech last Friday night at the museum. I was there Friday night. I've been there quite a few times when it opened, and
it's pretty impressive.
It's beyond.
If you
impressive.
Like speed, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, we did the pace car, and it's not even the speed because I've done Talladega at 185. It is the turns. You're not ready. All of a sudden, you're going 140 miles an hour. Boom! You're turning.
Yeah.
At Talladega, you hit the turns, and you have to go. If you don't go 150 miles an hour, you're falling off.
Were you scared to death?
No. I took. I was seriously medicated.
I wouldn't get in that car.
Just the jarring of the turns. It's so fast.
Well, it's real tight, and it went the steering is so tight.
Yes.
So how are you doing? It's a beautiful
Forget me. Business. I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
Paul, I left my house at 6:30 on April the 13th.
Yeah.
Expecting to come home probably about 8:30 or 9, and I'm just now getting home.
That is amazing.
It is, but I am doing so good. They did not shave my head. Hey, figure that. And he put the cut right down the left side of my head where I do my hair. He was the finest surgeon, and the hospital just, I can't say enough about it. If everybody got treated like I got treated, nobody needs to complain about that. But I'm home. I'm going to rehab. I'm going to get myself back to work. I'm going to get myself back to calling. And I'm going to be good.
Well, I'm a lot better. I can't wait.
Is Larry okay?
Larry, we think. Never know about Larry.
So, I mean, he doesn't have anybody calling and letting us know.
Not lately, but I wish somebody would. Hey, thank you for the call. Susie is up next in Georgia.
Okay, Paul. Thank you for taking my call. Your guys in the back must be having a heyday because of Gullible, Miss Susie from Georgia. Because I was calling to wish you safe flight across the pond.
Yeah, it's...
And you're not going across the pond.
No, I was just kidding, Susie. I was not invited to the coronation. I'm sure that was an oversight.
Well, I thought maybe you were just going to go be a crowd pleaser or whatever.
No,
I don't know.
No.
I'm very gullible. I'm very gullible.
Is this a formal thing? I guess you
need a tux.
Yeah, but I mean, you're not just going to like Joseph A. Bank
and
getting a tux.
Well, people stand alongside of the road
You're not talking about high school prom tux when you're going.
No,
do you need morning? You would need morning dress, wouldn't you?
That's right.
Now, I think morning tuxes are cool.
But you're a celebrity, you know.
Yeah, right.
Who knows? Maybe the new king listens to SEC, I'm sure.
It is a fact, and you may remember this. Does anyone remember Prince Charles going to a college football game one time?
Now, I don't remember that.
He did.
When he was a lot younger?
Well, yeah, it was about 45 years ago.
Okay. All right, no.
I can't believe you don't remember that.
I don't keep up with the crown. I am not.
King Charles in 1977.
Okay.
Went to a Georgia football game in Sanford Stadium.
Oh my God! And I've lived here since 1970.
Yeah. I remember.
But I don't
I was
ever
in college
pay attention
at the time,
to what's going on
and,
in Georgia.
It was a Georgia Kentucky game.
Okay.
Did you like it?
Very interesting. Well, that's interesting to hear. Good to hear from cheerleader. Cheerleader, it's good to hear
and,
your voice.
And James Brown was at the game. I feel
really
good.
Oh my God, I'm gonna have to Google this game. And one other and quick question.
I believe Georgia lost. It was a really good, that was one of the best Kentucky teams ever, the 77 Kentucky
team.
Well,
I was going to say, in the 70s, Georgia wasn't that strong that I remember.
They had their moments, but not this year.
Oh, yeah. Well, their fans have always been very, very, very faithful and strong.
Anyway, I know you're a Tennessee fan, but I just thought I'd lay that bit of knowledge.
Yeah. Oh, so, no. I'm going to definitely Google that, and I'm not going to be gullible.
King 3, I will say, hey, Charles, remember that Georgia football game you went to back in the 70s? I wasn't there either. But
One quick question. Why did you go to Tennessee?
Well, come on. Well, I grew up in Tennessee, and...
You grew up in Memphis, right?
Yeah, quite frankly came down to economics. There were a couple other schools I was looking at. My girlfriend at the time went to Georgia, believe it or not.
Oh, she's a dog.
Oh.
We couldn't afford that, and I got a scholarship at Tennessee, so I was able to go there.
Well, I know my daughter went for journalism, and so that's why.
I was. By the way, Susie, I'm not trying to act like I'm not trying to be chauvinistic here.
No.
She ultimately transferred to Tennessee.
Oh.
There you go.
Okay. Were you still girlfriend?
We broke up after high school, and she came up to Tennessee, and we started dating again.
No.
Yes.
Awesome.
And almost made it to the finish line.
Okay. Well, but you got the better
somehow,
deal.
Somehow, sure. My senior toward the end of my senior year, we broke up again. Don't.
Okay.
You can probably figure out the angst was occurring to me.
Yes, I can kind of figure that out.
Yeah.
Well, listen, you have a wonderful weekend wherever you're going to be.
Thank you, but she turned out great. In fact, I. Ended up you actually heard the conversation, Randy.
Yes.
I did a call with her daughter about a year ago.
That's right.
She asked me to do something, and I haven't talked to her mother since.
Right.
And if her mother's listening right now, we have to go to a break.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We're back, and Dale in Colorado is up next.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Hey there, Dale.
Hey, yeah. So I don't know who plays Jim on your TV series that may and hopefully be produced, but I know who plays I-Man.
Who plays I-Man?
And that is Tommy Chong. Tommy Chong.
Tommy Chong.
Yep. Absolutely, Paul. I mean, come on, I nailed it, man. You know.
I think you
know that's Tommy Chong.
Well, I will ask I-Man what he thinks of that suggestion.
Well, good afternoon there, Paul Feinbaum.
Hey there.
That's an interesting choice. I mean, somewhere between Tommy Chong and Gary Busey.
Gary Busey could play a lot of people.
Absolutely. He's a great actor. He played the bear.
He did.
He played the bear.
Played a young bear.
You know, the young bear. Young bear. Young bear. I mean, really, really young bear. In his prime. You know, Paul, I got a lot of Bama friends that, you know, I talk to personally every day, see every day.
Sure.
Family, friends, that kind of thing. And, you know, they're all kind of keeping aware of what's going on in Tuscaloosa. But, you know, my heart really goes out to the ones that call this program because they're bleeding hearts. I mean, they're going through a tough time. When you sit down and you think about every major male figure in that athletic department has got red flags, just red flags everywhere. I mean, there's so many red flags, you think they own the damn Yankee Navy flags. I mean, they signaling left and right, up and down, east and west, north and south. And it's sad that that program has dipped to the depths that it has. I mean, and my heart goes out to those Bama fans that call this program because they live religiously through this. I mean, there's got to be a reason to buy a new T-shirt. And maybe we ought to give them a new T-shirt today that they can go get. Rejoice or something, you know, something. What would be the most positive thing that we could come up with for those really broken-hearted, down on their sore knees, Bammers, praying that Auburn gets caught, that DeFreeze gets caught tweeting, or that Kiffin decides to go somewhere, or you know, Smart decides, I'm through with football. I mean, you know, I mean, these guys are begging for any kind of a miracle. What would be the power word, if you will? What would you come up with for them?
Blessing.
One word on a T-shirt.
Blessing. Grace.
Blessing.
Something positive.
Grace. That's not going to work for them guys. They need something more powerful than that.
Forgiveness.
I mean, you know, they need a picture of Uncle Sam with that finger pointing at them and said, this is what you did. This is what you did to us. This is what we did to the SEC. We have destroyed our fan base. We've destroyed our credibility, and we have a problem. We have a problem, NASA, and it's a major culture problem. And you know, I don't want to lean on too hard. It'd be a Friday and all. But you know what? You take the jabs when you can.
Is it my imagination, but I sense some schadenfreude from you.
Yeah, you know, I feel like Larry Holmes holding up Marvis Frazier, begging Joe to throw that towel in. Hit him one more time.
Well, I remember
begging
that.
Joe. Hit him one more time.
Go ahead and do it, Joe.
War damn Eagle, Paul. Have a good one.
Yeah. I don't think we'll be playing that call on the Greatest Hits CD, do you?
No.
Can you still get a CD?
I guess you can get
Somebody sent me this recently. A couple of years ago. I did something somewhere. And they sent me a CD. I'm like going, where am I supposed to play that?
I'm not going to play it.
Yeah. John is up next. Hello, John.
Hey, thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
There's somebody else that lives through what Alabama does. It's I-Man who just called.
You're right.
He absolutely, if it wasn't for Alabama, I don't know what he could really bring to the show, Paul.
He's one of those guys, John, that takes so much more enjoyment out of the failures of his competitor than his own team.
Yeah, he probably don't even know that this Thorne guy from Michigan State transferred to Auburn.
I don't think that has made his route yet. I would be happy.
Thanks, Paul.
I mean, to me, that's a good pickup for Auburn.
That takes so much more.
Thank you very much. Obviously, he did not agree that was a good pickup. Noel is up next. Hello, Noel.
Hello, Paul. Pleasure talking to you again, sir. I haven't talked to you since the pandemic kicked in.
I don't even remember that. Was that recently, or was that like in another lifetime?
It was lost in space. It was an old TV show.
You ever had
show.
A period of time that just vaporized?
Yeah. Help me, Will Robinson. Help me. But anyway, I was going to talk to you about a couple of things. I'll get to Alabama in a second. But you're talking about an actor that could replace you-know-who, Jimbo. And I thought about it seriously. And it takes somebody kind of psychotic. Wouldn't you agree?
I was giving some names of people without saying what you just got through saying.
Yeah, well, you know, he said that you don't know diddly squat about sports. You know, we know that. You know, we can both agree to that. So that's just the tip of the iceberg as far as his thought process. But what actor would really do a good psychotic in your mind?
You have to pick a period of time. I think we need – I can go old school and find a few.
That's what I'm thinking. Here's Johnny.
Yeah, Jack could do it. Yeah, I told Randy this earlier, and it's a particular role, and the movie's, 30 years old? But
yeah,
was it
Blew the Cuckoo's Nest?
Yeah, that was more like 45 years. Did De Niro play in the Cape Fear?
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, you ever seen that movie where who's the other guy? Is it?
I'm trying to remember.
Is it Nick Nolte or not Nick Nolte? Is it Nick Nolte? Where this guy just gets out of jail.
And
this guy is scary.
Exactly.
Nicholson, I'm trying to think of somebody younger though.
Jim's what 40, I guess.
Jim's 45, so you could get anybody in between 30 and 50.
Exactly. But anyway, there's a movie out there somewhere. You know, I know people talk about you, but a possible movie or book or whatever.
My part's easy. My part's not that important. I think Jim's the star of the movie.
Yeah, man. I think there's something there.
You need a big name.
I'm ready to produce it.
Who else? Let's think of a younger actor. Who of that next group? The guys that are now in their 50s. It is. Okay. Have you ever seen Primal Fear?
No,
when
I haven't
Ed
seen
Norton
that.
Played the dual personality killer?
No, I have not seen that.
Oh, my goodness. When he is on the witness stand and he's playing this poor young guy, and then they lure him into playing the other role. I can't remember who the lawyer was. Richard Gere, yeah. And then he just goes crazy. I like Edward Norton for Jim.
You got me on the honeymooners with Ed Norton. Anyway, that's fine. But anyway, regarding
all I know about the honeymooners is when Jackie Gleason would introduce them. Remember that? Art. Yeah. I mean, if I imitate him, I'd lose my voice for the next 6 weeks.
Yeah. To the moon, Alice. To the moon. I mean, he was ready to whack her.
Art Carney. let's see. I don't remember. Jackie was the star.
Yeah, exactly.
He was
exactly.
A good actor.
Yeah, it sure was. But anyway,
I'm voting for Ed Norton.
I am too. I loved Ed. I'm telling you, man. He just hung in there no matter how bad it got.
Hey, Noel, thanks for the suggestion. We'll keep that window open. We still have a few more minutes to go, and you can call us at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Back on the program, Mike is in Los Angeles. Hello, Mike.
Afternoon, Paul. So, a couple ways you got to look at it. I mean, Ed Norton, obviously with Richard Gere, great role. You remember at the end in the big reveal when sitting there just kind of clapping and he's going, counselor, like that, and he's just mocking him.
Oh, it was an amazing, you know? Amazing scene. That's one of my favorite roles for an actor.
It is. Now, Kevin Spacey, the reveal at the end of Usual Suspects, you know, the whole Kaiser Sose thing.
Oh, yeah.
That's one you could consider. No one's mentioned, or maybe I missed that, wasn't on, Anthony Hopkins, Silence of the Lambs.
Oh.
I mean, if you really want to go fully committed, I mean, De Niro, Cape Fear is good.
Yeah.
But Anthony Hopkins in Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah, that's that is an epic role. And
yeah. No.
Especially when they're in the jail and she is, Jodie Foster is talking to him.
Yeah, and he's like, Clarice.
Oh, yeah.
What was it? Do you hear the lambs crying?
Oh, yeah, he's amazing.
Clarice, quid pro quo.
That is really a great movie.
Did you ever see Joaquin Phoenix in the most recent version of The Joker where kind of he reprised Heath Ledger's role?
He's another one.
That's a little younger.
Yeah, no, I've not seen that movie.
So, who would you cast for I-Man, though? That's what I want to know. Someone went with Tommy Chong.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of the obvious stoner, but
Randy says Johnny Depp. I think that's a good one.
Oh, man. Does he have the music kind of background? How about a Billy Bob Thornton?
Yeah, I mean, Billy could play a lot of people.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's got the chops to kind of play anyone, but...
Somebody that just...
Who would you cast?
I mean, Johnny Depp... I don't think Johnny would take the role, but
well, I want to know about Legend. Tell me who you would cast for Legend.
I've got the guy, but I don't think he's alive. I don't even know if he's alive anymore. Go back 30 years, and it's Mickey Rourke.
Yeah, based on what role? I mean, Mickey Rourke.
What was
is that
role he
alive.
Was in where he played the con? Could have been anyone, but any role he played.
I've seen him around L.A. because, you know, you just kind of see people walking around. And he's had so much plastic surgery. And I think he doesn't look good enough to play Legend. But you got to have someone kind of with that big, bombastic personality.
Yeah.
So is there anyone else other than Mickey
Rourke? I think Legend
would
be the most fun in terms of casting because it's a critical role.
Who is someone could Sean Penn? I mean, you know, he's gruffy, but he can play.
I agree with you. I mean, Sean Penn plays that. I think Sean Penn is definitely under consideration. Big character.
Daniel Day-Lewis, I think, is probably arguably the best actor out there from everything he's done. If you could just convince him all right, Paul. Well. Been fun chatting with you. Have a blessed weekend.
Hey, great stuff. That was fun. There's some young actor out there going, what about me? Max is up next. Hello, Max.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you.
I know this one actor that was a motivational person.
Yes.
And he did a really good job, and he could really be Jim. He was on Saturday Night Live, and he lived in a van down by the river. I imagine Jim probably lives in a van down by the river. His name is Matt Foley.
Okay, Matt Foley. We'll check him out.
That was his name in the skit.
Oh, in the skit.
Yeah.
Chris Farley, yeah.
Chris Farley.
Isn't Chris dead?
But in that skit.
That would really be tough to cast him. I tell you who would play the good legend back in the 70s.
Who's that?
Who's
Belushi.
That? Oh, yeah. Probably so.
Can you imagine?
Probably so.
You know, crunching the beer can like he did in Animal House?
Mm-hmm. Right. One thing you brought up earlier was concerts in Memphis. I went to see David Bowie in Memphis one time.
Oh, I missed him. When was he there?
I would guess it was 74, maybe 75, something like that.
I was probably away at school. I'm sorry I missed that. I've always wanted to see David Bowie.
All right. You have a great day.
And I really wanted to see David Bowie as well. We'll take a short break.
He was a good actor.
Which one would you rather see, Bowie or Bowie?
Bowie.
I want to see Bowie. And we can't see that anymore either. We'll be back. Final few minutes.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.